God is awesome. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Numbers 13. Sometimes I heard somebody say numbers aren't important to God. If they weren't, why did he name a book after it? Ha ha, somebody laugh, do something. Numbers 13. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Make sure you got your glasses on. If you ain't got your glasses on, it can get you in trouble. Trust me. Yes. Got your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
You found Numbers 13? Say go ahead. If you don't have either one, say help me. Okay. I'll say it's going to start at 30, but I'm going to start at 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. In other words, showing them the possibility. The possibilities. Some of y'all in here right now, you've seen the possibilities. You're holding them in your heart. But we're going to find out which way you're going to go with it, all right? Matter of fact, this week coming up, this music in the park could wind up turning this whole church upside down with growth and with renewal and with vitality. Well, come on, y'all. Don't shout me down. Leave me hanging. The next time we have a homecoming, we could have a homecoming that we have to actually have to have seats standing all around, people standing around, the possibilities. God's given us so many possibilities, but how are you going to handle when God says, I got something for you? How many times he said, I got something for you, and you're still sitting on the side of the highway begging? Get ready. They brought back word unto them and unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth milk and honey. And we even brought back some of the fruit. We're showing you exactly what you said was going to happen. Nevertheless, I hate to see that word in Scripture. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And I don't have time today, but there's going to be a time when I'm going to explain to you all of these people actually speak of spiritual problems in our life, spiritual problems that need to be dealt with, and it keeps us out of our promised land. But we're going to talk about the main thing today. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How many are good at making excuses? Can I tell you what Abraham Lincoln said? Don't throw anything at me. Abraham Lincoln said, of course, everything is either said by Abraham Lincoln or Ben Franklin. I even saw something on the internet that said, you can't believe everything that's told on the internet, signed Abraham Lincoln. A man is good at making excuses. Be careful. Don't throw anything at me because I make excuses too. So this is situational. The man that's good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. See, I'm stepping on my own toes too. Amen. That's right. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able against the people because it's too big, it's too far, we live too far out in the sticks. We're in Edward. Edward is dead. Nothing can happen in Edward anymore. They said the same thing about Nazareth. Who can come out of Nazareth and do anything? Ask Jesus. He changed the entire world. for they're stronger than we are. They brought up an evil report of the land which had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Look at this. Didn't say we were grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in our sight. It said we were grasshoppers in our sight. And when they saw that we thought we were that little, they said, yeah, they are that little. Verse chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted their voice and cried and wept all that night. And all the people of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Wouldn't it be just better just to quit serving God and go back the way it was? Let me ask you a question. How many really enjoyed the way it was before God started moving in your life? There's a little bit of joy. There's joy. The Bible says there is some joy in sin, but it's only for a season. And they said one another, let's make a captain and return to Egypt. But Moses fell on his face, on their faces, before all the assembly of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which thou passest through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation got all excited and had a great revival. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle and the congregation for all the children of Israel. We'll just stop it right there. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all you do for us, Lord, in your word, what you do for us through your spirit. I thank you for what you're doing for us here at this church, Lord. This church has not seen its last days. This church has not seen its best days. This church has not seen all that you can do. Lord, I know this time that we live in is a confusing time. We see the stuff happening with Iran and with Iraq. We see the stuff happening all overseas. We see stuff happening here. We see all the things that's going on around us, and it's confusing. We also see the great falling away. We see people that once used to stand strong and you could depend on them and God. And Lord, we see now they've just got laid by the side and said, who cares? Lord, we see all that. But that doesn't mean you're dead. It does not mean your church is dead. It does not mean faith is still not alive. It does not mean that we can't rise up. It does not mean that we can't see you do something in our lives. It does not mean you're not still healing. You're able to heal. You're able to lift up. You're able to deliver. And you're going to show us that, Father, if we'll trust you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. The church said, amen. On the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. D.C. took me and Daniel golfing years ago. It was one of the most exciting, humiliating things I ever done. It was exciting that I was with my boys. It was humiliating because D.C. would hit it once and I'd have to hit it five times to catch up with him. None of that. D.C. would hit it straight and I'd hit it over here and over here and over here. So I zigzagged. Daniel did a whole lot better than I did. Matter of fact, I actually felt like I'd never done it before. Well, actually, there was this inept golfer. The golfer's ball, he was worse than me. The golfer's ball flew into the rough and landed on an anthill. He tried and tried to hit the ball back onto the fairway, and every time he hit, he missed, and he hit the anthill. Ants were flying all over the place. One ant turned to another and said, if we're going to survive this, we better get on the ball. Satan's swinging today. And if we're going to survive this time that we live in, this great falling away, this great purging, this great stuff that's happening around us, if we're going to survive it, we better get on the ball. Amen. We better wake up and see what's happening, smell the roses. You know, because this is one of the greatest times we've ever lived in. God is so awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to talk about getting past our giants. Now I know, matter of fact, I wasn't even sure how this was all going to go until last night when I finished it up. But here we go. We watch Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. As he delivers them out of Egypt, God never just delivers us from something. God always delivers you from something to something. God don't just deliver you to let you sit there and wiggle and worm and die away. God always delivers you to something that is very, very awesome. God has given us more promises than you ever could imagine. If you trust Him, God has something special for each and every one of us. He's got us a promise. You see, and that's what God told Israel when He delivered them. He said in Numbers 33 and 53, take possession of the land and settle in it because I've given it to you to occupy. Think about the New Testament. We'll go back to that in a minute. In Deuteronomy 1:21, it says, behold, the Lord hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. And the Lord, thy God of thy fathers, hath sent unto thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, word possess means to occupy by driving out previous tenants. It means to take back what originally belonged to you. Get ready. We're going to have a good time. So the promised land. The promised land was a place of hope because things could be different. It was a place of vision because there was absolutely no stopping what God could do. It was a place of opportunity because everybody could get a chance to get involved. It was a place of growth because you didn't have to stay stagnant. You could keep on going. It was a place of life because once you got in the promised land and saw the milk and honey and saw the stuff, you understand that God had something for you besides death. But it was also a place of battle. You see, Satan always, y'all say always, Satan always refuses to accept defeat. He's not like us. We are quick and easy to accept defeat. May not like it, but we'll accept it. Satan will never accept it. And so it's at the end that God actually has to send an angel to restrain him because he just wants to keep getting stronger and stronger in our lives and keep trying to take over more and more and more of the promised land. Don't think the promised land is a place where you can lay down and rest. The promised land has so much opportunity, but it's not a place to lay down and rest. It is a place of battle. You're going to have to fight. You just don't go through and everything's handed to you on a silver platter. Let me just kind of explain something here. What happened to Israel? You know, Moses sent out the 12 spies to survey the promised land. And watch this. They are shocked that there's giants in the land. Shocked. Wait a minute. Here's all the promises. You told us to go in and possess the promises, occupy, drive out the previous tenants. And so we thought we were going to march right on in, pull the grapes, pull the milk, pull the honey, blow over the people that's in the way, and everything's fine. They were shocked that they were going to have these giant problems. Some of us in here today, you're shocked because you have that giant problem in your life. You're shocked because your spouse or your children have that giant problem. And you say, I'm serving you, God. I'm doing everything I can to be there and do what you want me to do. God, why am I having to fight this giant? You're in the promised land. And Satan is not going to lay down and play dead. So the ten give a bad report that causes people's heart to melt with fear. Fear destroys faith because they're the exact opposite, which led to disobedience, and the result was 40 years in the desert. Yesterday we did a wedding on the beach, and we were parked close to the beach. My car right now is so full of sand. I took off my shoes and built a little plate. If we'd have had a cat, he'd have had a nice little litter box last night. My shoes are full of sand. My ears were full of sand. My eyeballs are full of sand. My glasses. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you stay in the wilderness, your heart's going to be covered with sand too. How many in here, your heart? Don't raise your hand. Don't point. Don't point anybody. How many in here, your heart and your spirit is covered with sand because you're in the wilderness and afraid to take on the giants? It's easier to walk in the wilderness than it is to take on the giants. No, it didn't. Let me tell you something. He said, occupy. Israel had to get past the giants to possess the promised land. And the lessons of Israel that led to 40 years in the desert teach us how to possess or to pass our giants and to possess the land. Now just remember this. How many's ever said, how many parents, how many children ever heard you? And all of us are children at one time or another. How many ever heard your parents say, don't do what I do, do what I say do? How many said, I'll never say that to my children and did it in, and then did it? How many ever said, just because I said so? I said so, and that's good enough. I can't even remember your name, young, and just I said so. Well, Israel, don't do what they did, but do what God told them to do. See, today you may be facing giants of fear. You see the big giants, you know the things that are coming on you. It's really harder. You're facing the giant of fatigue because now you fought so long, you're tired. God, I'm just tired. If I could just lay down and sleep for 40 years like old Rip Van Winkle, I'd be all right. And God says, no, Rip Van Winkle's not in the equation. You're going to have to wake up and fight. And he said, but God, I'm tired, I'm afraid, I'm tired. Not only that, but I have failed so many times at this. Right now, the three biggest giants in all of our lives, listen, every last one of us, is fear, fatigue, and failure. Well, we can get past it into our promised land. Now, how do we do this? Jesus said in Luke 19, occupy until I come. Occupy does not mean take up space. Some people say, I'm good at this. I can occupy. No, this ain't like going to a door and seeing occupied. No. It doesn't mean just take up space. It means to take a stance, to be productive, to do something. Like Marcel Lidbetter. He's all up in the tree trying to go hunt for a coon. And while he's trying to hunt for a coon, he looks up and he thinks he's got a coon. Instead, he's got a lynx. They go to fighting. They're fighting tooth and toenail. And Eugene looks up and he says, Eugene, shoot, shoot, shoot. And he said, I'm scared I'm going to hit you. He said, I don't care, shoot. One of us have got to have some relief here. The same way. So watch. Be productive. Take back lost ground and property. Be responsible. Somebody sent me when I send out Mighty Armies, some of the Mighty Armies I'll send back out or some people send me. And somebody sent me, of course, I saw the bumper sticker, but it didn't quite sound like this. It said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Wow. Be responsible. See, giants, watch this now. Giants, they represent barriers to our Canaan, to our promises, to what God's give us. And so there's going to be challenges, but the question is, let me ask you a question. Do you expect to possess without a challenge? Do you expect to see the promises without a fight? See, barriers bring frustration. It makes us mad. Whenever we begin to move forward, we got to remember, we're going to confront a giant. Satan, whenever you move forward, Satan begins to push back. He doesn't stop. He doesn't play dead. He doesn't give up in defeat. He stands strong. You know, as a matter of fact, he'll build that wall. Watch this. Giants equal barriers. Let's see that wall being built. Here, see that giant right there? That giant, come watch this. Let that wall be built, brother. Hit it again. Bring a wall up here. Look at there. Watch what happens on your wall. Fear, criticism, fatigue, injustice, temptation, failures, problems, doubt, finances, testing. That wall is in front of you right now. It may not have all of those things on it in your life, but I guarantee you, everybody in here, somewhere down the line, it's already touched you or is going to touch you. Those giant barriers, and God wants to take them down. So remember now, let's move a little forward here. Remember, giants, whenever we begin to move forward, we confront giants. They begin to push back. So let me ask you a question. Do not holler out. Keep it to yourself, please. What is the biggest barrier to your promise? Think about it. What's the biggest barrier to your promise? What's the thing that's holding you back? What's your biggest fear? What are you thinking right now that if this didn't was not this way, we could have already had that promise? What's that in your mind? What are you thinking about? You see, here's the lessons we learn from Israel's experience. It helps us to defeat our own giants. So here we're going to go. I don't have many. It's 11:53. I promise you one of the giants is 12 o'clock. We will not pass that wall. It's time up there. It was time on that thing. Oh, go ahead. Quickly. Giants. Let me get my Bible back out here. Giants aren't going away on their own. You got to drive them out. 14:8-9. He says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You cannot ignore your giants. I've buried people that ignored cancer. I've watched people that ignored their problems grow. You can't ignore them. You can't talk them away. A lot of us are good at talking. I'm good at talking. That's one of my gifts. I definitely can talk. My daddy told me when I was 2 years old, son, you're going to be a lawyer. At two. I do argue the law before the Lord, not for Uncle Sam. Talk our giants. Well, try to talk it away. You're not there. I don't see you. If you want your giants to go away, watch this. If you want to get past your giants, number one, you got to be intentional. You got to take action. You got to be intentional. You got to do it on purpose. Make a plan. Do it on purpose. Be disciplined. Make sure that you keep swinging. Be faithful. Don't stop because the very first time you tried, you didn't make it. Some of the greatest batters in history, Babe Ruth, do you know he held the record for the most home runs for a while, but if you step back and still go back and figure out how he did it compared to other guys, he didn't have any all this help these other guys had, all this conditioning and strengthening and steroids and stuff. And so if you look at Babe Ruth, he was the first original home run king. He did it off of hot dogs. Extra chili. That was his steroid. Do you know that he also held the record for something else? The most strikeouts. Wow. The most home runs and the most strikeouts. So you think if he thought about all those strikeouts, he would quit hitting home runs? Nope. He kept right on swinging for the fence. If you ain't here today, I'm here to tell you, God's got a message for you. It's time to swing for the fence. No more bunting. No more slide or no more trying to walk. It's time to swing for the fence. Because Satan's swinging for the fence every time you go up against him. Faith without works is dead, James 2:17. The gift of faith is free, but the life of faith is a fight. You're going to fight. It's going to be a fight. You're going to have to fight. If you don't fight, you'll die. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed a good confession of faith before many witnesses. Number two, some giants have been in the land for a long time. They're not going to leave without a fight. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. That word dwell means to set up, to be established. It means actually to set up a contract. They have been there for a long, long time. Do you think they're just going to walk in and Israel say, y'all need to move out the way? And they go, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was in your way, and move out the way. Say that to the devil next time you're fighting him. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil, can you please move out the way? Because the Lord told me I'm supposed to do this. He goes, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. Let me move out your way. Ain't going to happen. Satan's going to fight you with everything he's got. You see, these giants in Canaan have been there for generations. Some of y'all are still fighting giants that your daddy fought, that your granddaddy fought, that your great-great-granddaddy fought. You know that? Generational giants. They're negative, they're destructive, and they're stubborn. But you must hold on to the vision, refuse to quit. If you refuse to quit the struggle, and trust God for the strength to handle them. How many ever heard of Al Capone? How many ever heard of his lawyer? The man that got him out of all his trouble for years, his name was Easy Eddie. Look it up. Easy Eddie, don't look it up now. Here comes Google coming right here. Google him. Bang, 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 bang. Y'all don't look him up yet. Keep your cell phones off. Let me tell the story. If I tell it wrong, you can tell me next week I told it wrong. That's all right. Easy Eddie was conniving, devious. He told a lot of bad stuff to keep Al Capone out of jail. Easy Eddie realized what he was doing was not right, and he was setting a very bad example for his family. And so he decided one day he's going to go against this giant that they had, this giant of lying and this giant of deception and this giant of taking care of Al Capone. I'm going to go up against the giants. So one day Easy Eddie tells Al Capone, I quit. You try telling Al Capone you quit. Well, quitting wasn't enough. Easy Eddie testified against him. A year later, Easy Eddie died riddled with machine gun bullets as he was on the street. Let's move on ahead to World War II. World War II, there's a Navy squadron taking off in the South Pacific. Navy squadron is taking off, all the fighters are taking off, and as the fighters are taking off, they didn't have the modern stuff we got now, GPS and all that. They couldn't communicate quite like we could now. They took off, and as they took off, there was this one fighter pilot named Butch. Butch looked down and noticed that somebody had failed to fuel his plane before takeoff. So he can't talk to his people. He's got to go back to refuel. He can't go to the mission. So on the way back, he notices that the enemy has took on early to the fleet. They've got the fleet. They're taking the fleet down. They're all around the fleet. Everywhere you look, there's the Japanese Zeros are everywhere. And so here's Fast Eddie. It's Easy Eddie, not Fast Eddie. Fast Eddie is a ball player. Actually, he does something else too. We'll leave that alone. So Butch sees it and he says, I can't fight them all by myself. He said, maybe I can cause enough disturbance that they cannot get all the guys. So he takes his one fighter plane that's low on fuel and he zigzags in and out between all those fighters. And as he's zigzagging out to all those fighters, the fighters are hitting the ground, the fighters are going away. Finally, the other fighters, his people, they find out what's going on, they come back, and he actually saved an entire fleet while being low on fuel. Low on bullets, he still saved a whole fleet. Butch was the first Navy pilot to get the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch is killed in an aerial fight. His hometown said, we're not going to let this go without him being recognized. So they decided to name an airport after him. And so that was the beginning of the O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. It was Butch O'Hare. Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. You see, he said, I'm not going to let these giants keep taking over in my life. These generational giants. I'm going to take it down. And look what happened on the other end, what happened with his son. You see, you got to hold on to the vision, refuse to quit the struggle, trust God for strength and results, and don't get discouraged every time it doesn't change overnight. War takes longer and costs more than we ever expect, but victory is certain through the grace of God. I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. Here's the next thing I need you to do. If you're going to take down your giants, I need you to magnify God, not your problems. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. When problems are exaggerated, when problems are the only thing you focus on, we develop a grasshopper syndrome. The only thing a grasshopper can do to defend itself is to jump, run, hide in the grass. You see, Joshua and Caleb had the spirit of faith. We're well able to take them on. But the other 10 spies had the spirit of fear. We can't take them on. We're grasshoppers. We need to magnify God, not our problems. I told you about this so many times. When I went to Fountain, I saw people, I'm not kidding you, there was more excuses. There's people there made so many excuses. I thought some people made so many excuses, I thought they got paid for doing that. And I said, Lord, help me never to come up with a bunch of excuses. Whenever we had a problem, I'd always sit down and I'd say, Lord, show me. And I'd bring two or three solutions every time I brought them a problem. That way, I didn't just go, hey, look at that! I was going, I noticed that, but here's what we can do to fix it. It got to the point where there was times that they didn't even stop and have a meeting about it. They said, which ones did you pick? I said, I'd like to do solution number two. He said, go do it. Because it was thought out, it was done, it was going to be taken care of. Glorify the Lord. You see, magnifies love, magnifies faithfulness, magnifies power. Glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. Problems are opportunities in disguise for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. How many know that? Get ready, we're getting ready to close. Y'all are looking at your watch now, 12:05. I told you we wouldn't pass that barrier. We will pass the 1 o'clock barrier. We'll fix that one. If you're not here, out of here by 1 o'clock, you get your tickets back. Every last one of them. Here's what you got to do if you want to get past your giants. Run toward them, not away from them. I love this. Y'all got to listen to this one. This right here is worth the ticket right here. Get ready. Listen carefully. I want you to put on your thinking shoes. You got to think what I'm getting ready to tell you. He said, Caleb steeled the people, got them to be quiet before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once! Wait a minute. Why are we going to go up at once? He wanted to go up at once before the negative had a chance to infect their thinking. Some of us in here could have already been a lot further in the Lord, but every time you start thinking of a way and God starts showing you a way to get out your problem, you got to stop! And go, well, what if we do this, 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 and this, and what if that happens, and what if that happens, and blah, 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 blah. And before long, all the negative you can think of has been bombarded on you. And you're thinking, well, I've done a good job thinking. And no, you didn't do a good job thinking. Satan infected you with negative. Come on, don't shout me down. When your thinking becomes excuses, then Satan has taken you down with negative. And you will never go forward as long as you've got a negative onset. So here's your choice. Are you infected or are you affecting the situation? The 10 spies, yeah, look at all this good stuff. Look at all these big grapes. Look at all this stuff. But you got to understand, there's some big boys over there and they ain't planning on giving up easy. Matter of fact, we're surprised. There's giants over there. God told them to occupy, to take back what belonged to them, to drive out the previous tenants. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go now before y'all can talk yourself out of it. I'm pretty sure some things you wish you had talked yourself out of. And quit looking at the person beside you when you went, mm-hmm. When God begins to move, you know the difference many times between your victory and your defeat is, are you infected with negative? Are you going to affect it with positive? I'm not talking about positive thinking, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I'm talking about, I know God said it, and I believe it, and I'm going to stand on His Word, and I'm going to trust God to do what He said. I may be little, but God is big. Let me tell you something. God wants us to stand up. You listen, listen. You can never win a battle in retreat mode. How many knows that? You can never win a battle in retreat mode. David refused to retreat when he faced a giant. Run at your giant as David did. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And the Bible said he triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword. Wow. He won without all that modern armor. He took the Holy Spirit and took care of business. See, it's not the size of our resources, but it's our faith in God's power that wins the day. I mean, here I go. I'm getting ready to close. Here it is. I am closing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm closing. Once you drive out the giants, you got to occupy the land. You know, Jesus said once the Spirit's driven out of a man, he comes back, and if it's dry, he'll come on back, and he'll bring back seven. It'll be seven worse than it was to start with. We say, well, that's all about demonic possession. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's just playing out what Satan tries to do in your life. God shapes you up and cleans you up and gets you ready to go, and then you won't occupy the land. And so the next state is worse than the first state because now he's got you so confused, he got you about as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. Occupy. Deliverance needs to be followed by discipleship, and I'm planning on talking about that tonight. But we have to grow in faith, the Bible. We have to grow in words and deeds. Talk is not enough. I've heard so much talk, I honestly, sometimes I wish I could just take and turn it off when I hear somebody talking about what they're going to do. Because I know they're not going to do it. They're just going to do it. Well, when are you going to do it? Matter of fact, I've even started doing that to some people. They go, well, we going to. And I say, well, when are you going to? Tell me. I can't see us winning on going to. You got to win on doing it. Deeds, action. The Bible says we need to be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19, filled with the Spirit, full of the fruit of righteousness, full of purpose, and full of the fullness in Christ. Matter of fact, throw that last one up there, brother. That's our ending. You say, well, you don't realize how bad I got it. Well, welcome to life. If you had as bad as I would, you'd throw it in. You know, I mean, you've heard the story about the man told God, said, I'd carry this cross, but it's too heavy. So God said, I get to tell you what, come in this room and you can pick out, you can lay your cross down and pick up another one. So he laid on his cross on the outside of the room, went back inside the room and looked, and there was crosses there, big ones, little ones, fat ones, wide ones. And he found this one little bitty cross. He said, that's the one I want. And he picked it up and he walked down and said, here's the one I want. And God said, how about that? You walked out with the same one you walked in with. It's time for us to move into action. He said, well, you don't understand how bad I got it. Let me tell you something. Here's what Paul said. And Paul, he was been shipwrecked many times, beat with rods. And when beat with rods didn't mean that there were some hot rods down there and his was slower than the other one. Beat with rods meant they took these sticks, these canes, and they beat him with whelps until these whelps left contusions on his body. And these whelps, many times he carried these whelps for the rest of his life. He was stoned and left for dead. Many believe that's when he went up into the third heaven, when he was stoned and left for dead. And because of that, he had epilepsy because he'd been hit so many times between the stoning and between the rods. He had epilepsy, and that's why he carried around Luke with him. Luke was a personal physician. And so Luke was his personal physician, walked around with him. Whenever you look in the book of Acts, you say what we did. It weren't just him and Silas. It was him, Silas, and Luke. He carried a personal physician with him everywhere. He prayed and had the dead raised. He prayed and saw people healed, yet he stayed sick. He prayed for God to deliver him, and God never delivered him. God said, I need you in this position because now you're in a position of want, and now you're going to have to draw from my power. People will know it's me. When he walked with a limp. Part of his body was paralyzed. And you know what? And then we talk about how bad we got it. Think about how this man was, a little short man with epilepsy and malaria and beat with rods and just whooped. And he says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. One of the mighty armies I sent out a few weeks ago was, a ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what a ship is made for. Also sent out one said, it's the rough seas that gives the mariner skill. It's time to stand up. God, I'm ready. If I get knocked down, I'll just stand back up again. If I get stomach punched, I'll just stand back up again. If I get gut punched, it's going to be all right. I'm going to stand back up. If I get run over, I'm going to get right back up. Now is the time. Talk is cheap. Talk is easy. My mom used to have I used to hate that saying. After she told me to do something on about the third or fourth time. Of course, that's why I hated it, because she had to tell me on the third or fourth time because I hadn't done it yet. She said, son, I'm not just talking to hear my gums flap. Satan is over saying the same thing. We're not just talking to hear our gums. We're ready to do something. This world is in the worst shambles it's ever been in. We got to do something. Satan would rather start us arguing amongst ourselves. Or sitting down doing nothing. Or just saying, I don't need to do anything anymore. I'm fine. I've done my part. No. Joshua and Caleb were still going strong in their 80s. God was still using them. He was still taking down giants. I want everybody to stand. Guys, come play something. You're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. God's calling us all to get up and do something. Shoot up amongst us, new genes. Somebody got to have some relief. God is calling us to do something. There's a song, I wish I had it before me right now. I can't even think of his name right now, but it said, I asked God, I saw all the stuff going on in the world, and I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I put you there. Do something. Talk's cheap. Matter of fact, I can talk about it all day long, and that way if I'm wrong, I say, well, I was wrong, but nobody got hurt because I really didn't do anything. Do something. Do something. Do something. Do something. Don't let negative get inside of you so much that you're infected with negative. You affect the negative with positive faith. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, you need something from God. First, let me just ask this one question, then we're going to call everybody up to prayer. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I'm not going to call you out in the crowd. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you why everybody's head's bowed, everybody's eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, would you raise that hand and say, I need to know Him? Would you raise that hand? Maybe you're here right now and you knew Him, but you let Him slip away. And now it's just a shadow of what it used to be. If I'm speaking to you right now and you want that close relationship again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you put that hand up. and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for them. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Touch them right now. Give them that strength. Give them that courage. Let them stand strong in you again. Everybody that will, come on up here and pray. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. Pray. Pray. Be ready for God to use you. Be ready for God to do something in you and through you and from you. God, I want to be used. God, I'm tired of this, sitting on the sideline, talking about what I'm going to do. God, I'm ready to see you do something. I'm ready to see you do something. I'm ready to see you do something. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Touch Frankie right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift her up, strengthen her body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. God called us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Everything we have, everything we'll ever be, comes from you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to touch us right now, to minister to us, Father, in a very powerful way. Lord, Lord, it's time. It's time to move from a keeper of the aquarium to a fisher of men. Use us, God. Use us, God. Use us, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Easy Eddie decided he wanted to take down them giants, them generational giants in his life. Took them down, and his son became one of the greatest fighter pilots in the world. O'Hare International, Chicago. Thank you, God. When my Jesus we will see. Sing it, y'all. When we look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Day that will be. Sing it, church. When our Jesus we will see, when we look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God's awesome. God's awesome. If Easy Eddie can do it, if Easy Eddie can do it, Lazy David can do it. Well, not Lazy David. How about Ugly David? I like Lazy better than Ugly. I got Hard-Headed David. There you go. There you go. Hard-headed David. God's able. God's able. When I looked out this morning on my car, driving all the way up here, watching all that sand on my car, I said, God, don't let me get stuck in the desert. I don't want all that sand all over me, on my heart and my spirit. I want to go forward and occupy, occupy, occupy till He comes. God's awesome. All the time, God is awesome.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity just to come together and worship You in spirit and truth. Father, You have done so much for us. You have showed us the way. You have prepared the path for us. Lord, may we go forth from this day in faith in You, that You would lead us through every trial, every tribulation, and that we would give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. Lord, we thank You. We praise You in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Thank you.